The Papa Biggs Show is back, people, and we're here for your delectation, me and this little fella here. Come on.
It's me, Son One, co-host of the podcast radio. Last we no longer broadcast rapid fast with the Papa Biggs Show. We're a blast. The number of fans we've amassed is quite vast. I talked with my dad about film and TV. You can listen to the show for free, can't you see that me? My bars are as sweet as a peach tree. I'll talk about comics for an hour or three. Alright, stop me if you've heard this one. I'm someone's son, and I live in the sun. Nailed to the cross like a hot cross bun. I'm the fun one son that can't be outdone. Because my name is Son One.
What's up?
Wow, stuff is...
Everything is up. Everything's up in the air these days.
That's right. It's mainly viral things. It's lockdown too.
Electric Boogaloo.
Lost in New York. Okay, so yes, we have another show coming up for you today. What have we got coming up on this show, someone?
We're going to be doing what we're watching, what we're reading.
What a surprise. What else are we going to be doing?
Trailers.
Trailers?
Trailers.
What's that then?
Well, it's where we look at 5 trailers and tell you whether we think they're good, bad, or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I only said that because there might be some new listeners.
I highly doubt that.
Okay. So, have we got time for anything else? Or are we just doing those two things? Probably just those two things. We've got plenty.
See.
Plenty to we watched and read and done.
No room for a classics corner this week.
No room for weird weather, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do some trailers. Come on.
Sure.
Trailers.
If you're not familiar with what a trailer is, it's a short 2 minute...
Roughly.
Yeah, roughly 2 minute thing.
It's an advert for a film or a television show.
Mm-hmm.
Chopped together, usually in the montage style, to advertise the forthcoming attraction. That's what we're looking at. 5 of them. And we're going to rate these particular trailers with our thumb method, up, down, or in the middle.
Yeah.
You decide... What's the most positive
representation
therein? So what is the first trailer? Trailer number one, please, someone.
Trailer number four is a real...
What? Trailer number four?
What did I just... Did I say trailer number four?
Yeah, let's start at number one.
Why did I say trailer number
four? I don't know.
Four?
Who heard anybody starting anything on four? Let's start on
Star
one.
Wars. They started on number four.
Good point. Yeah, well done.
So trailer number one is for... Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes, so this is a sequel to The Karate Kid, which is showing you another form of self-defense. Am I right?
That's complete unscientific balderdash. That's
okay.
A lie.
What this actually is another Nicolas Cage film. Uncle Biggs, just for some reason, he was on the phone earlier, right? And he's been watching Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, the best of. All right.
Okay.
Don't ask me why.
Okay.
All right. Bear with me here. And he said he comes out with some funny lines. I said, does he? Such as. And he said, this role is so bad, Nicolas Cage turned it down. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So you see where I'm going with this? He will do anything. And this pretty much backs that up. Because this is just, I don't know what it is. It's a kung fu monster film. Totally ripped off Predator,
mm-hmm.
obviously, is an alien who's a warrior who comes to Earth to fight a bunch of Earth-bound warriors. And Nicolas Cage is some kind of crazy guru. It's a bit of a stretch for Nick being crazy.
And it doesn't look like he's in it much.
No.
His scenes are just either talking to this group of people or he has one small fight scene.
That's right. And that's clearly, we've got that kind of, what was that film with Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan in?
The Iron Mask.
That's it. It's clearly that kind of scenario going on here. Mm. You're absolutely right. This is low budget. This is, apparently we're supposed to know who this guy is, the director. Okay.
Are we?
Dimitri somebody or other.
Should we look at this guy's name?
Okay, Dimitri Logothis. Okay, because he's done kickboxer films.
Kickboxer Retaliation.
So I suppose if you've seen the kickboxer films, you might go, oh, kickboxer. I know what I'm getting for that.
Wings of the Dragon, The Lost Angel.
Yeah, he's done some garbage. Nothing that we're familiar with. Has he got anybody in this that we'd recognise other than the Cage?
He's got Frank Grillo, who was in
Punisher?
Captain America films.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, he was...
Crossbones.
That's it. Yeah, the bad guy. I'm one of the bad guys. Minor character.
Other than
and
that...
And is there somebody else you recognised in there?
Nah.
No? Okay. All right.
Bunch
so
of
there
nobodies.
You go. And so it literally is some kind of sub-predator rip-off of some alien coming down. But instead of all-out warfare with guns, it's Kung Fu instead.
Yeah.
There you go. Summed it up. When's it out?
It's out on November the 20th.
And where can I find Jiu-Jitsu?
Supposedly in theatres and on demand, but I highly doubt
it'll be in
the
theaters.
Former.
Mm. Why is it called Jiu-Jitsu?
Because they do Jiu-Jitsu. They,
okay. You don't need to explain
Cage's
anymore.
Friends do
yeah,
Jiu-Jitsu.
They do that brand of... self-defense. There you go. I'm giving it a thumb down.
Me too.
Okay. I mean, it's just, there's not even a ridiculous, crazy performance from Nick Cage. He's just kind of phoning it in, really.
Jiu-jitsu. More like poo shitsu, am I right?
I see what you did. Okay,
pretty
let's
smart,
move on.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Trailer number two.
Trailer number two is for Monster Hunter.
Ah. So, Mia Jovovich.
Mia Jovovich.
Yep, and who's the brilliant director who's done some brilliant body of work?
It's Paul W.S. Anderson.
That's right. Not to be
Paul
confused
Anderson.
With Paul Thomas Anderson.
Or Wes Anderson.
That's right. Or do we know the other famous Andersons? Hans Christian Andersen. Mm-hmm. Also not to be confused with them. Yes. This is based on a computer game.
It's based on a video game where you hunt monsters, supposedly. It looks like the film's going to be the same sort of thing. It's monsters coming to Earth, and this army group of people in army trucks are going to have to fight these monsters.
I challenge any listener at the Baba Big Show to come up with a film adaptation of a video game that is actually any good. And I don't just mean... It's watchable
decent.
Because it's actually, you know, just rubbish and it's
Rampage.
Good fun. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's definitely rubbish. No, an actual good film based on a video game. You name one. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. It's impossible. Anyway, you have some usual fare here in this particular trailer. It does give whatever minimal plot there is away. Because we have a bunch of soldiers, like you said, and for some reason they're in the jungle and they get transported, John Carter-like, and there's a reference, to some monster world where it's soldiers versus monsters. That is it. And it is just mm-hmm. them shooting each other and monsters eating them. And that is pretty much it. But you, seems to be some kind of warrior queen. Even though she's like the officer of the army people.
She's the chosen one
she's,
or something.
Yeah, it looks like that kind of usual fare. Well, okay. It's quite a big budget, though. I mean, which is absolutely ridiculous. It's almost like an absolute waste of money. But I'm sure there's some morons that go, oh, it's boggled. Because...
Probably not, because it's apparently nothing like the video game.
Oh, right. Well, well...
Well, I don't know. I've never played Monster Hunter.
No, neither have I. But I think if you are actually, you know... aiming at a target market that already exists, then you need to appease that target market, surely. Mm-hmm. Not try and do something that is just like, oh, there's a great idea, because clearly it's not.
Well, Paul W.S. Anderson and Mila Jovovich have been doing this for years with, is it Resident Evil?
Yeah.
Do they do that?
Yeah, they do those things, yeah. I suppose they're minor hits, and they must be, because there must be at least six of them or something, mustn't there?
Do you want to check?
Nope, don't bother. I don't care. I really don't care.
I care, Dad.
Okay.
Resident Evil, the final chapter.
That's one.
Resident Evil Afterlife. Resident this Evil one. Retribution.
There you got three.
Resident Evil. There's four.
Oh, there's four. He also did Alien vs. Predator.
And Event Horizon.
Uh-huh.
And Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. So he likes his... He's probably a gamer, isn't he? He thinks, yeah, I'll do films based on games. Because I like games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a life. P.S. Anderson. P.W.S. Anderson. Whatever you call
PWSA.
Pretty wubbish, stupid films, Anderson. That was rubbish. I overstretched myself there. Anyway,
I think so.
Anyway, Monster Hunter, when's it out?
It's out on the December the 4th.
There's only one December. And what formats may I find this in?
Probably on demand, you know, your local on demand video provider.
Okay.
Will give you a digital copy.
Oh, nice. Give you one. So you don't even have to buy it.
Well, they'll give you one for a low price, probably a high price actually.
Yeah, but it is.
Probably 20 quid.
Oof. 20 quid for that amount of monsters.
Well, Scoob was 15 quid.
Wow. How much was Mulan? That was 20, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so probably, yeah, somewhere along those lines. Anyway, if you want to find and watch Monster Hunter, you can do that over your Christmas period. What a lovely festive treat that would be. Yes. Thumb down from me.
You know what? I'm going to give it a thumb down.
Okay. Trailer number 3, please, someone.
Trailer number 3 is for Stardust.
Ah, so this is the story of the girl who is a star, and she comes down into an earthly thing and goes around, played by Claire Danes. Yes, that one? Ah. Sure, that's an old film. Oh, no, it's not that one. This is based on rock and roll, isn't it? And this is where you've got David Essex in the sequel to That'll Be the Day. No, is it not that one?
It's another film called
Stardust.
It's a cash grab biopic movie about the life of David Bowie.
That's right. So, Elton John, that Rocket Man, that was a huge success. Boom. And critical and financial success.
Don't forget Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Let's have a biopic on old Fred. Huge critical success and massive money.
Yeah, Flight of the Conchords.
Film. And now, like you say, right on the back of it, let's have a David Bowie biopic. Now, this tells you all you need to know about this particular film. It has not been endorsed by the Bowie estate.
Yes, so much so that they can't even legally use any of his songs.
So what is the point of having a biopic about a great songwriter and entertainer and you can't actually have any of their songs? None whatsoever. And the guy looks about as much like David Bowie as I do. All they've done is like give him his funny teeth and going, well, probably his eyes as well. Made his eyes different colours with a bit of contact lenses. And they go, look, it's David Bowie. No, that's not David Bowie. That's not David Bowie at all. This is a terrible, 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 terrible. How many terribles was that?
A few.
It's that terrible.
It's probably going to be even worse when you consider the fact that they've probably written their own songs that sound like David
sound
Bowie
a bit
songs.
Like it. And you're absolutely right with your Flight of the Conchords bloody
looks
reference.
Like a parody.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a ridiculous parody.
Jermaine in his David Bowie costume.
James in space.
Looks a lot more
Stardust
like
in space.
Bowie.
It's, absolutely god awful. I'd love to know what Mr. Duncan Jones thinks of this, son of,
you know what he said? They rang him up and said, Duncan Jones, can we do this? And they showed him the trailer and he said,
no,
this is hashtag biopic done wrong.
When's it out so I can avoid it?
It's out on November the 27th.
Oh, not long then.
No,
at the end of this month.
Oh, it's already
is
got
there anybody is there anybody associated with this film that we might recognize? Johnny Flynn, he's a name.
Is he?
Yeah, click on him, you'll recognise him. There you go. Does a lot of telly.
Yeah, well, I'm not really familiar with these things.
Well, I don't know him.
Jenna Malone is in it, and she is the love interest in Donnie Darko.
Oh, really? Wow, what's she been doing since Donnie Darko?
She was in Hunger Games as well.
Was she really?
Yep.
Well, there you go. Contact. Oh, yeah, she's done quite a lot. Sorry.
Like, they're not the huge names.
Now, Mark
this
McMahon.
Guy sounds familiar.
Yeah, Mark McMahon. I play football with him sometimes.
Mark
I used to work with him.
Maron. He's in Almost Famous.
Ah.
He's in Joker.
Ah.
Sun Tzu's favourite film. Yeah, so.
Okay. Sort of. All right, so some fairly
mid-tier.
Mid-tier, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. Who directed it? Gabriel Range. What's Gabriel done?
He has done Death of a President.
Okay.
I Am Slave and The Great Dome Robbery.
Okay. TV stuff, yeah. It does look like a TV movie, to be honest. I don't know what it's doing out of its box. There you go. It looks like something that would be on the Hallmark Channel or something like that.
It looks doesn't look real. It looks so like out, an SNL. You know how SNL do like
yeah,
those trailers. Comedy.
Yeah, so like yeah, they look like you know decent budget and do a parody, like you say.
Yeah.
Out 27th of November. Where will we find that?
Probably
on SNL.
Yeah, but probably just
on the Hallmark
on demand, I guess.
All right. Okay.
You know, like everything else.
All right.
Probably be £30.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll be saving my money from watching that and maybe just listening to some Bowie instead. Thumb down.
Yeah, me too. Two thumbs down for Stardust.
Okay.
Trailer number four, please.
Trailer number four.
It's finally here. I've been waiting the whole time. Trailer number four.
There you go. It must be because it's your favourite. That's why.
Yeah.
You were very stoked for
I
it.
Guess.
So what is it? What is trailer number four then, someone?
Songbird.
Ah. So this is another biopic about another singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Maybe Amy Winehouse, perhaps?
No, it's who did Three Little Birds, that guy.
No idea. Three Little Birds.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Don't worry.
Oh, right.
About a thing, that guy.
All right, that's Johnny Cash. No, it's not. That's,
Anyway, that guy.
What's his pretty name? Oh, anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah.
Is it Bob Marley?
Bob Marley, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. This is a Bob Marley. No, it's not. All
no,
that
it's not.
Joke, we're trying to remember someone's name, and that's not even what it's about. It's about COVID-23.
Okay.
5 years
what
in the future.
What happened to 20 and 21 and 22? Is there such a thing? And if that's the case, how have we not heard about COVID 1 to 18 before COVID 19 came out?
Yeah.
I think there's a flaw in this particular genius filmmaker's plot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So what have we got? Tell us about it. What have we got? We've got a trailer here where we see a girl kind of stuck in her apartment. We're not quite sure why she's in an apartment. It's kind of a near future world, are we in? Yes, and
it's like 4 or 5 years. They say it in the trailer, but I'm not going to rewatch it, am I?
Okay. And it's about, just in the near future when COVID's gone rampant and taken over the world.
8 million deaths this year alone.
That's right.
And the government are kidnapping people. There's military on the street. They've got camps for people who have a fever.
That's right. And if you get a high temperature, that's it. The Nazis come round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It seems very
stupid.
Anti-quarantine.
Yeah.
It seems like
anti-lockdown.
Yeah. It seems like an exaggeration of the events that are happening now to try and portray the events that are happening now and the measures that we have to take as stupid and we shouldn't do them.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to us from Michael Bay.
That's right.
Your favourite.
Yeah.
I think he's just a producer. Director here is Adam Mason, who has done a bunch of crap. He's
Into
done
the Dark.
Pig, Junkie, Luster, Dust,
all
Broken.
Sounds great.
Hangman. They're all just one word titles.
Nice one word titles, yeah. Who's in it? Anybody we know?
KJ
Apa. Sophia Carson.
Craig Robinson, he's a guy.
He's a guy.
Things.
Yeah. Bradley Whitford.
Alexandra Daddario, she's in things.
Peter Stormare as well. All right. And Demi Moore.
A few people who are in things.
Okay. How big a part these people have in this particular thing remains to be seen, because it looks to me like it's kind of, it'll be people they come into contact with, maybe one or two scenes.
Well, it's probably focusing on these two main characters.
Right, who we've never heard of. So, and then we've got cameos from lots of different people.
Yeah, because you have to consider the fact that this was probably, well, it was filmed in a quarantine setting. So 90% of it is in this girl's house.
Or in other people's
houses. Or in the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some CGI crap. This looks god awful. I have absolutely no interest in this whatsoever. If you want to see a pandemic film done okay, watch Soderbergh's Contagion or something else. Just not this. This looks god awful. And like, well, you said the Bowie thing was a cash grab. Well, this is just absolutely ridiculous.
And it's profiting off of something like a global pandemic that's
actually
killing people.
Hundreds of thousands of people have actually died.
Very tone deaf.
Yes.
Let us out. You've got a bunch of it's propaganda.
Oh, well, there you go. Songbird, when's it out?
It's out next year.
Okay.
That's all I can say for now.
All right.
Just everyone, stay alert. Just
wash
don't
your
get
hands,
too excited
wear a face mask
about this film.
And avoid this like the plague. So, yes, I'm going to give that a thumb down.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Can you give
down.
Me something that I might actually watch? Trailer number 5.
Raya and the Last Dragon.
What's that?
It's a Disney animated movie about a girl named Raya. She's kind of like got control over elements or something like that. And she's going on an adventure.
Okay, it looks kind of Lara Croft? Lara Croft, Indiana Jones, all that kind
of sort
of
like
adventure,
Avatar,
treasure
the
things.
Last Airbender.
Yeah, because you've got a bit of Kung Fu-y type stuff in there. But you've also got the classic Disney sidekick creature character who's cute and funny at the same time.
Yeah.
So all the trademark Disney animation things are here.
Mm-hmm.
You basically got the trailer's basically pretty much the looks like the opening scene, doesn't it?
Yeah. It is very Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
With the traps and the stealing things. And very nice
and
water
part,
animation.
Part of the trailer, yeah, and part of the trailer is brought to you by the people who did Moana and Frozen. So they've got form, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of starts fighting this kind of, I don't know, samurai type guy.
Weird bloke.
Yeah. I'm guessing, I don't know from the trailer, because what I do like about this trailer is it doesn't give too much away, which is nice. It just hints at a possible story. We're just showing this particular scene, and then we have a few flashes of possibilities of what might happen and a couple of little action sequences, but doesn't give you any context about what they are or what's going on, which is great. That's what you want from a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Give me guessing. Leave me guessing.
Well, unfortunately, this is a teaser trailer.
I know.
And
the teasers always work better.
Teaser trailers tend to do the job of what a normal trailer should do.
Yeah, because now a normal trailer will come out and it'll be 3 minutes long and it'll show you the entire bloody film.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Anyway, this looks lovely. This looks all right. This looks like I would probably watch it. You've got everything you need for a quality Disney feature-length animation with quality animation and quality characters and quality storyline by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Always, it's just think possibilities might be quite good. So when's
Perhaps.
It out?
March 2021.
And I'm assuming it's going to be the old Disney Plus.
No, it's currently, I believe, slated for a cinema release.
Nah.
Which means that
when?
It will probably be delayed.
When?
March 2021, like I said.
Right. Oh, did you say that already?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it'll probably be delayed. Because
I imagine so.
Disney already have loads of stuff going to Disney Plus. They already put Artemis Fowl on there.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting
Mulan.
Soul, they're putting Soul
I thought
on
they'd
there.
Do a Mulan thing where they stick it on Disney Plus and try and charge you an extra £20.
Well, if you look at what they're putting on there, Artemis Fowl would have made no money anyway.
Mm.
Mulan, they didn't have much faith in anyway because that's meant to be quite bad. Soul is the only exception. So I don't think they will put another sort of bigger film with potential. Because look at how Frozen did. Look at how Moana did. It's the same sort of thing where you got a badass young girl doing cool things and it's fun for all the family.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would throw this on Disney Plus.
No, I think you're right. Okay, so let's hope we can see this at cinemas in March 21st. March 21st?
2021.
Okay.
You had the number right. But
I thought it was a month, a day rather than a year. Okay, so I'm going to give this a thumb in the up.
No, well, I'm going to get a thumb in the middle.
Okay, I'm going to thumb up it.
You're very positive. That's
yeah, well, not really, great. Because if you do a quick recap, we'll find out how positive I've been.
Yep, our fourth trailer was Jiu-Jitsu. That was 2 thumbs down.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter, 2 thumbs down. Stardust, 2 thumbs down. Songbird, 2 thumbs down. Ray and the Last Dragon, a thumb up and a thumb in the middle.
So, all that remains is what's our trailer of the week. Mine is quite obvious. Ray and the Last Dragon, I'm going with that.
Mine is jiu-jitsu.
Idiot. Right. So, I mean, this just goes to show what a dearth there is, because obviously people don't want to put anything out.
There's no trailers.
Everybody's in lockdown.
There's trailers, but every trailer is
bad. Give us all your films for free. We're stuck in lockdown. Come on. No, it's not going to happen. Anyway, that's been trailers. Let's have something else. What are we going to do now?
Weird weather.
What I've been reading. What I've been watching. What I've been watching. What I've been reading. What I've been reading. What I've been watching. What I've been watching. What I've been reading. What I've been watching.
What we're watching and reading is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching. And what we've been reading.
That's right. And we've been doing lots of things because, again, we've not been getting out much. What has the weather been like?
The weather has been not good, okay. I would say. On a scale from 1 to 10,
it's
maybe
been
a 3.
Pretty weird. Okay. So what have you been reading?
Reading?
Yeah.
Have a guess.
Is it possibly an X-Men comic?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
This one's different.
What a goddamn surprise.
Well, it's not different. It's actually...
Exactly the same.
No. It is. It's from the early 2000s. In fact,
you make that sound like it's a long time ago. It wasn't.
Yeah, well, one of the issues is actually came out on the week I was born. So this comic is the same age as me, and it is the Chuck Austin run of X-Men.
It's the what?
Chuck Austin. He's the writer of this series.
Could that be a more American name?
It's an awful name,
Chuck Austin.
And this is
Bionic Man.
This run is widely regarded by most people who've read it to be one of the worst X-Men comics.
So why are you reading
maybe
it?
Maybe one of the worst comics ever.
Why are you reading it then? It's some kind of like...
It was interested.
You're interested like you were when you went to see Cats.
Yeah.
Even though you know it's god-awful.
Well...
Like when you pass an accident on the motorway and you just can't help but look.
Yeah.
And it's
canon. It's the things that happen in this comic... are the things that happen to the main X-Men. So the team that you've got here is Wolverine, Angel, Iceman, Nightcrawler, Stacey X.
Who?
She's
like a reality show person.
She is a mutant sex worker whose power is that she can control pheromones. And she's the worst written character.
What the hell is that?
It's not good at all.
Well, it doesn't sound it.
So you've got Husk, who can rip her skin off, which is kind of cool. Northstar, who's flying. He's from Alpha Flight. Juggernaut. So you've got
an arc because
this is him. It's kind of a redemption arc for him. And who's the other? Chamber, whose power is that his chin
Make
is
that
on
voice
fire.
Echo.
His chin is on fire.
That's not a power, is it?
His mouth area, like from his nose to like the top of his torso, is just constantly on fire.
So he's got a fire beard.
Pretty much, yeah. But
what? How is that a power? What can he do with a fire beard?
He's also telekinetic.
So why have a fire beard?
Well, he's not got a fire beard. When his mutant powers emerged, the bottom part of his face exploded. So he's got big fire here.
That is crap. Go on, carry on.
So
what's the story?
The story is... It's hard to explain because it's all not good. So the leader of the team is Angel. So most of the comic focuses on Angel, who, if you don't know, is the most boring X-Man.
Got wings.
He
flies.
Just got wings, yeah. And the story starts with his blue skin, which he got from Apocalypse's transformation. It just goes away with no explanation. Just he's like, oh yeah, I'm white now again. And then we find out that his blood can heal people.
Really?
Yes, his blood can heal people. And then he starts dating a 16-year-old.
Oh, that's wrong.
It's awful. Like, I've always known about that relationship through people talking about it online, like, and I thought that it was just the writer being an idiot. But they address it in the comic, and Iceman's like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, right? She's 16. And he's like, I don't care. So you have...
Right. Angel's a peanut.
It's the first time you have a superhero who is actually doing something wrong and they address it, but they don't treat it as wrong. And it's kind of gross. It's really gross. What else happens? They have a character who comes in who's a nurse, and she falls in love with Havok, who is in a coma. So this whole time, Havok, Cyclops' brother, is in a coma, and this nurse falls in love with him, even though she's never actually met him, just in a coma. You find out that mutants are immune to AIDS. Like, the nurse is like, what about AIDS? And then they're like,
just out of the blue.
Someone says,
hey, what about the AIDS thing?
And then someone says, come on, Nurse Annie, you know that mutants are immune to AIDS. That's common knowledge. It's ridiculous. And there's a new, like, offshoot of mutants, but they're all werewolves.
Right.
So
I assume this Chuck Austin, the writer, is 8 years old.
No. He's actually very successful now. He does lots of children's cartoons.
Oh, well. And there you go. So he writes them for children, really small children,
Who
haven't got a clue about anything like plot and character.
Yeah, but it's awful.
Is it X-Men Babies? Is that what he's done? Is he done in that kind of style?
No, it's meant to be edgy. One of the stories, it just starts
off... Oh, yeah, because you've got the sex worker.
It starts off with no reason. The X-Men come out of the building, and on the school lawn, there are like 30 children crucified, like young X-Men. So you've got Jubilee is crucified there, dying. They kill a few main characters of Generation X, Sink, Skin, a bunch of other weird characters just die, and Jubilee almost dies, but luckily Angel's got his healing blood. And then Nightcrawler's like, oh, it must be like religious fanatics. I'm a church now. I'm in the church now. I'm actually a pastor, and I'm a priest. And then everyone's like, Nightcrawler, when did you become a priest? And I was like, a few months ago. You all went to my knighthood, my priesthood. And they were like, no, we didn't. And it turns out this church has made Nightcrawler a priest because they have the intention of making him the Pope because they hate mutants. And if there's a mutant pope, then it will destroy humanity somehow.
Now, in the world of writing stories, right, and I actually teach a little bit about this with script writing, right, there's something called verisimilitude. You know what verisimilitude is? It's about making something believable, no matter how fantastical it is. So within the world of science fiction, with fantasy, adventure and everything like that, even though you have this outlandish stuff like dragons and flying people and everything like that, what you do is you create something that feels believable within that world. This guy's obviously not understood how to do that process, because this is the most ridiculously goddamn awful story and story arcs I have ever heard in my entire life. This sounds like absolute stinky pants.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, would you recommend this to anybody?
I think it's fair
just
to
people
say
you
I
don't like.
I think it's fair to say I'd never recommend this to anybody.
Okay, good. Chuck, you suck. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What did you read though?
I read a classic science fiction novel called Foundation by Isaac Asimov. Now, Isaac Asimov is a very well known writer of the science fiction genre, and many of his films have been many of his books have been turned into films, should I say, not films turned into books.
The name sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
What's he done though?
What's he done now?
What's he done though? What have I heard of?
Only Robot was based on one of his.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's about artificial intelligence. I don't think anybody's done any of his work justice, because it's quite. His work is quite cerebral, really. It's quite intellectual in terms of its understanding of the far greater subject matter it actually delivers, and the premise and the themes of these things is actually far more interesting than what's actually happening on the surface of spaceships and things like that.
So it doesn't work as a film, it works more as a book.
Yeah, they do, yeah, unless you're actually a capable filmmaker. Because Foundation is actually, even though it's about several different generations of this planet breaking off and becoming something else and revolutionary, it's actually a political book. And it's actually really interesting. I know it doesn't sound interesting, but it's actually incredibly interesting about the politics that is passed down through generations and how it kind of was unstoppable, what they predicted was going to happen, and everything they did against it just couldn't persuade and sway away from what actually did happen. Really, really interesting. Anyway, that was Isaac Asimov's Foundation. I would thoroughly recommend that. It's the first time I've ever read Asimov, even though I've read a lot of science fiction. So I will probably read some of his other books if they are that interesting. So it wasn't what I was expecting, let's just say.
You took ages to find a book the other day. You're in here in this library room.
In our library room, yeah, with all our books, and we have quite a lot.
You spent like 12 months trying to find a book.
Yeah, about 12 minutes, probably. Okay. And
what did you decide on?
I can't remember. Oh. So upstairs, I've only read the first two pages, something like that. So once I've got into that, I'll let you know. Okay, it's a classic one.
Stay tuned.
Yeah,
folk.
Stay tuned. Okay, I've also read something in between then as well, so which we'll talk about next time. Anyway, that's what we've been reading. What have you been watching?
We've been watching bundles of things, in fact. We've been watching film, TV. That's it. Well, maybe an odd YouTube video.
Yeah, I've been watching the birds in the garden as well and stuff like that. But yeah, specifically, we're going to look at film and television shows, yeah?
Yeah. Do you want to start with television?
Yeah.
Have you been watching Autumn Watch?
Well, yeah. Yeah, we have, yeah.
What do you think of this series compared to last series?
Well, obviously, they're having to do it in lockdown, aren't they? So the four presenters are in four different parts of the country. So it's actually made it a little bit more interesting because they're going to go around their patch and talk about the wildlife, which is quite diverse, because one person, Yolo, is in Wales. Chris Packham is down there in the New Forest. Michaela Strachan's up in Scotland. And what's her face? I can't remember her name. The other one, she's in Yorkshire. So they're all in different parts of the UK. So it's actually made it a little bit more interesting. And it's perfectly lovely, especially when they have their mindful moments.
Mm. Well, I don't understand how the show has lasted this long, because new animals aren't created. It's all just the same animals.
Like, well, there are so many different species and so many things we don't know about the animal kingdom.
But like,
that it would be impossible to run out of subject matter.
How many autumn-based animals are there in the UK?
Yeah, but it's not just like animals, it's plants, it's organisms, it's
like, if you've seen one hedgehog,
it's insects, it's
then you've seen
everything.
Them all.
How many hedgehogs have you seen? I said hedgehog.
I've seen a few hedgehogs.
Yeah, not many. We used to see billions of them when we were kids. They are dying out, God bless them. So if you're listening, save the hedgehog. Anyway, I'll tell you what else we watched as well. As a fam, we've been watching Bake Off.
Yeah. It's good.
We're watching Bake Off. I don't think I'd ever watch any kind of reality show, but it's actually quite fun because it doesn't take itself at all seriously.
We're getting towards the end of it now, aren't we?
Yeah. Four left?
Episodes. I think there's...
No, four people left. Or is it five?
I think we're on five. Yeah. We've got Laura.
Yeah.
We've got Peter.
You've got Mark.
Mark.
And
Hermine,
and is that it?
There's one more person. I swear there's five.
You'd be wrong.
Nope. Definitely five.
Okay. Lottie went.
Mm-hmm. But there's five.
Oh, Dave.
Dave.
Dave, who doesn't understand shapes.
Yeah, what's a crescent?
Anyway, that's Bake Off. What else have you been watching on your own?
So I talked about the worst comic I've ever read.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to mention the worst TV show I've ever seen.
Okay. You've been watching Mrs. Brown's Boys?
No, I've not seen that, so no. I can't make a judgment on it.
To be fair, I haven't, and I will never.
Yeah. So, and it's very typical someone watching. But
is it a Marvel show by any chance?
Yeah, I know. Once I've finished this, I've sort of not got really much Marvel stuff left to watch, so I'll be talking about it less.
Until they release more, that
Black Widow,
yeah,
WandaVision.
Now that's the one I was trying to think of there.
Well, I did over lockdown intend to watch the entire rest of the MCU that I haven't seen. You heard me talk about.
Did you watch New Mutants?
New Mutants.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you haven't seen everything then.
That's not in the MCU.
Is it not?
No.
Ah, how come Inhumans is?
Because it's probably not. but it's made by Marvel Studios.
Oh, right, okay.
So
all right.
Things that are made by Marvel Studios are canon until we are specifically told otherwise.
So they reference the films, do they?
I wasn't really paying attention, to be honest.
Fell asleep.
It's the most boring thing. So you've got this family who live on the moon, and they've got powers, and they're a small community of people. And when they reach a certain age, like 16 or 18, then the royal family puts them through this process where they get their powers. So they're all on the moon because they've got blood. I think it's Kree blood. You know the Kree, the blue-skinned guys from Captain Marvel. So there you go. There's a connection to the outer Marvel universe. And when they get to a certain age, it's sort of like a eugenics program.
Nice.
So these characters are pretty much Nazis, where they, if you get powers, then you are an upper-class citizen, and then if you don't have powers, then you have to work down in the mines. These are our heroes, by the way.
Oh, right.
They're meant to like. And they all worship the king. The king's Black Bolt. That's not just his superhero name, but also his actual given name is Black Bolt. So all these characters are calling each other by their superhero names, because they're also their real names. So you've got Black Bolt, Gorgon, Medusa, Karnak, Triton, Crystal, Lockjaw, who's a giant, like, 8-foot dog. And it's...
Is he a talking dog?
No. He can teleport, though.
Okay.
So, very first episode has Black Bolt's brother, Maximus, who we're meant to dislike, by the way, says, I don't like this eugenic system. I want to take over as king, because you're not doing a very good job, because you've got this awful program going on, and you've got an awful caste system, and I want to sort it out. And Black Bolt's no, I'm king. He can't speak, by the way. Black Bolt, he can't speak. He's mute.
Cool.
And then Maximus sends everyone to Earth, to Hawaii, and they're like chilling out on the beach and stuff, trying to get back to the moon to stop the Maximus's quote unquote evil plans to end the caste system and the eugenics program. And Medusa gets her hair shaved. So, you know, Medusa, her
snakes
power is
her
that
head.
She's got hair which can be moved and stuff like that. First episode, her hair gets shaved. So Medusa can't use her powers because she's got no hair. Black Bolt can't use his powers because he's mute and his power is like screaming and stuff. Gorgon is just strong, so his powers are boring anyway. Karnak's power is to see the flaw in all things, which means he knows stuff when
so
it's wrong.
He's a critic.
Yeah, so his power isn't very visual. Lockjaw is a giant CGI dog.
So he just finds out it's rubbish, though.
Yeah.
That's rubbish.
Lockjaw's a giant CGI dog, so they can't use him much because the budget is tiny. Crystal, I don't even know, I wasn't paying attention. Triton is... he's got green skin and he can swim underwater. And he looks awful. It's the worst makeup I've ever seen. And it was all filmed on IMAX cameras. Like, it's the only Marvel TV thing to be filmed on IMAX cameras. And they premiered the first two episodes in cinemas. And it's the worst looking thing I've ever seen. It's genuinely... It's not good.
No, it sounds
the story
horrifically awful.
Is horrendous. No one... it's barely even a superhero program. It's... people on Earth trying to get back to
well,
the moon.
Well, it sounds like Nazi propaganda, to be honest, with you, the way you're talking.
Yeah. Not good.
No, not good. No, that's not good. That's never a good thing. No.
Yeah.
All right, well, that does it for TV shows. What films have been...
Say that again.
Yeah, what films have been watching?
Le Mans 66.
Ah,
so or if you're in any country other than the UK, Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah. Yes. So, Le Mans 66 based on...
racing.
Yes.
Racing.
Shut up.
Not running.
Based on Ford's attempt to stop the Ferrari phenomena of constantly winning the Le Mans. The 24-hour race in France, the incredibly famous and incredibly hard endurance race.
Just a long race.
Yeah, 24 hours.
Yeah,
without stopping.
It's really long.
You have to have two drivers.
There are stops.
You have two drivers in the...
Pit stops.
Oh, yeah.
Like in cars,
yeah.
Except...
anyway, stars Matt Damon as the... Summit Shelby?
Summit Shelby.
Yeah. the car maker and designer, and funny-chinned Christian Bale as the driver. And yeah, and they have a fallout and they do stuff.
Well, not
and
really.
It's very well. No, well, they're on each other's side, but they still fall out a bit.
They beat each other up a bit, but yeah, then they laugh at the end of it. Yeah. It's good old time.
It's a pretty standard biopic in terms of, and kind of also quite standard in terms of, like, you know, the good guy overcoming the great odds and everything like that. But it's actually very, very well done. And
I wasn't
engaging.
Expecting to like it very
yeah,
much.
And it's very engaging, and the characters are good, even though they're based on real people. And the storyline, it has a few twists and unexpected bits in it, which makes it even better.
Because I genuinely don't care about cars at all. Like, people are like, look at my Chevy Summit, and I'm like, is that good?
Well, I don't know. Anyway, it was most enjoyable. So me, you, and Mama Biggs watched that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did we watch?
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Oh, so she's... Shane Black.
It's a movie.
Directed and by Shane Black.
You got Robert Downey Jr.
That's right.
It?
Of course, they went on to do Iron Man 3 together. But mm-hmm. don't be fooled.
No.
Okay, because that was good.
Val Kilmer's in it.
Val Kilmer's in it. So you got Batman and Iron Man teaming up.
Michelle Monaghan's in it. From...
I thought you said M. Night Shyamalan then.
M. Night Shyamalan's
in it. Very, very, very confused. That's right. Yes, she is. He was also in Source Code and lots of other things.
Mission Impossible.
That's it. And they get together, and the three of them try and solve a crime of the missing sister.
Yeah.
And Robert Downey is kind of a criminal, kind of finds himself in an unusual situation which he shouldn't be in by chance. Val Kilmer is a detective. And Michelle Moynihan is, like I say, the sister of the missing girl.
Well, you said this was a very good film.
I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, I remember that being all right, is what I said.
Because Iron Man 3 is good.
That's right.
And The Nice Guys is good.
That's right. And I thought, yeah, it probably was good. Because I remember watching it and thinking, yeah, that was all right. And then it wasn't. We watched it, and there's several problems with it. Firstly, the really homophobic... character,
gay
Perry. Gay.
He's gay, and his name is Gay.
His name's Gay because he's gay, and he's like, "Oh, madam, oh, saucy." Like, yeah, I'd have sex with you because you're a man. It's that kind of like ridiculous nonsense. And Downey Jr. is mugging his way through this one. It really is. And I like Downey Jr., but he's rubbish in this. He's just
Is what 2005 or six.
Yeah, this is at the height of his cokehead stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is really awful, and there's nothing good about it. And it's got that kind of, I'm so clever and knowing with my filmmaking because I'm going to draw attention to the fact that this is a film and I know how to do it.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. is like, this is a film, guys. Well, there's actually bits that I liked. I liked him accidentally showing up to the casting for the film because he's a bank robber.
Yeah.
And the script is exactly like the events that just happened to him.
Yeah.
And they think he's a really good actor as a result of that. That was good.
Yeah, and that's about it. It's just, the tone's all over the place. It's really awful. They're not very nice characters in terms of, like, you know, like I say, one's homophobic and everything like that. It felt like an 80s movie.
It did.
Because it was so dated. The fact it was 2005 is like, really? Really? Did you not know any better by now? It's also incredibly misogynistic and sexist as well. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, Crap, Crap. That's what it is.
I wouldn't say crap. I think it was
And I'm even more annoyed because I thought younger me must have watched this in 2005 and thought, yeah, that's all right.
So you're really sexist and homophobic.
That's right. That's exactly the two of the tricks.
2005
that I'm
was the peak of.
Of
sexism and homophobia.
Obviously, was in Shane Black's
That's
house.
When Sun 2 was born.
Okay, what else did we watch?
Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Okay, so we've got these on backup, haven't we? In case we, me and you, get attacked. But it's only me and you watching these, aren't they? So we, everybody's watched the first two. And I'd only ever watched the first two Terminator movies.
Son 2 hasn't seen Terminator 2.
Has he not? No, I've only ever watched them, and I've been around for a while. And so with most of these films. Mm-hmm. I've never felt the need to. So you said, no, we should watch them. So we put them on the old watch list. So yeah. And then we eventually got round to watching the third one, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machine.
I was expecting it boring and bad.
It wasn't awful. It was very, very similar to the second one, but just not as good.
I think it's actually... Because, you know, I like the second one. I think the second one's okay. I think the first one is meh.
And no, I think the first one's the best one.
I actually don't love any of them. Not even the second one. So this one wasn't completely, what's the word? Completely
ruining it. The others, yeah, it wasn't ruining it.
Exactly. Much to ruin it anyway.
No, it was a perfectly accessible action film.
It was ridiculously stupid, and it kept me in the whole time because of all the stupid stuff.
I think that's what it does in its favour, really, because it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's just like, now we're just going to blow some stuff up.
You know, the scene where there's the wrecking ball or whatever it is, and it completely destroys several buildings?
Yeah.
They were going to do it as CGI, but Arnold took, like, $2 million out of his own pay, because he was like, no, we need to do it real. And they did it real, because he got paid lots for this, because he didn't originally want to do it.
Mm.
So he got paid loads. And then he used some of that money on the film.
And, you know, and that is the standout scene, to be honest, that big action scene, because you can tell it's real and it's crashing and exploding things and it looks very expensive. So it is the standout scene, and it does kind of like, yeah, that's quite good.
I don't really like John Connor in this.
No, he's a real nondescript. Claire Danes' character is far more interesting, but they don't do anything with her.
And she just turns out to be a love interest in
the end. Which is really rubbish, because she could have been
she's
far more interesting.
She's destined to be his wife or something like
that. Like, oh yeah, great, you get to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh great, thanks. That's a real purpose
and
for
me. She is married to someone, or she is scheduled to be married to someone.
But kill him off, killed. Early doors.
Yeah.
That's right. She didn't really that bother. She goes, oh, and then that's
shame.
It.
Shame. And there's they go to a mausoleum and they steal a casket that's filled with guns.
That's right.
And then they hide John Connor in the casket. That bit's quite cool.
And he comes walking out with a casket and firing a great big machine gun.
Some of it is it's good because lots of it is
it's
mental.
Stupid. Yeah. Anyway, we watched that. Me and you.
The villain Terminator is like a young woman, and there's a really awful scene right at the beginning where she gets pulled over by a cop. And then she, like, makes her breasts larger. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd forgot that.
They inflate and it looks awful. So
yeah. So when was that made? It was, like, 90-something, wasn't it?
I think it was early 2000s.
Oh, was it? Okay. So at some point, we will watch the fourth and fifth ones.
And the sixth.
Oh, is there six? Okay, well, there you go. We'll get round to that. We're halfway through. Woo-hoo. Okay, now, I'll tell you what else, which is not on your list, but me and your mama watched, was on the old iPlayer, and that is classic Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah.
Me and mum watched North by Northwest, and you asked, like, oh, is this a James Bond film? Which is actually a really interesting thing to say, because...
It's not.
Because it wasn't, no. But, I mean, there's lots of theorists that say that this kind of was the template of what James Bond was then based on, of this kind of set pieces as we go along on this kind of chase sequence around the country, you know, or different places. And these iconic sort of places where he turns up to actually do a set piece of a fight scene or a chase scene or a car chase or something like that. So actually, that was quite an interesting comment that you made. Not that interesting. But anyway, Cary Grant.
It also sounds like a James Bond film. It's,
ah, right, yeah.
If
and
it was
title,
like,
yeah, I suppose
if it was
so.
Like Death by... Because well, I mean, they've all got Die in the name of James Bond.
I mean, it's
Die
yeah,
by
it,
Die West.
Yeah, and they are very tenuous links to whatever that's going on within the actual story. So, and this is also the same. It's very tenuous. It just happens that at one point he just goes north by northwest on the compass to his final destination, and that's about it. And it's briefly, very briefly mentioned. But it's got brilliant soundtrack by Bernard Herrmann. It's got some brilliant graphics by Saul Bass at the start with the title sequence. It's got a great performance, great comedy as well as thriller performance by Cary Grant. And it's great. It's really watchable. I've watched it many times and I will probably watch it again.
Why do you watch it without us instead of picking it for Tin Night or something?
I don't know. Should have.
You should have, yeah.
Should have. Something else I watched on my own, which...
Sado.
Yeah, loser. Because with my new phone contract, I got Apple TV.
Apple TV Plus.
Apple Plus TV means TV.
TV plus Apple equals Apple. Appleness.
So yeah, and there was only one thing on there that I wanted to watch at this present time. And we don't have an Apple TV thing box. And we can't access it through anything that we already have.
The Apple computer.
I know. But I don't want to watch sitting in this office and watch a computer.
So you'd rather watch it on your phone. David Lynch has said a lot about watching films on iPhones.
I know, and I absolutely despise it. I absolutely despise anybody, especially with this, because I watched Greyhound, the submarine Second World War film.
It's a big film.
Tom Hanks.
It's big
scope. It is.
It's war. You love war.
And I watched it on like a 7-inch screen. Which
what would
just
you do if I
watched
Dunkirk on my Nintendo
I'd
DS?
I'd have punched you in the face. Okay. So, yeah. But I just kind of stuck it on while I was having a bath. I thought, oh, I'll press play on that. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching it then. So I thought, oh, I'll have to carry on watching it. So I just sat on the bed and watched the rest of the film. And it was all right. It was okay. Although it does do that thing which a lot of American war films will do.
Wave the flag?
But no, not just that. I don't mind that. That's what you expect that from them. But the Germans are never seen and they're dehumanised. In fact, so far, that they just call them the Wolfpack, which is actually what they did call the U-boats.
Well, then it's accurate, around. Then. It's, I don't know
well, it is, but that which is fine, and if it just stayed that way, that would have been fine. But it didn't, because for some reason, on the Tannoy, where they have the communication system on the boat, for some reason, the German U-boats managed to tap into their Tannoy and did this in this crazy English... English-German accent. We are the wolf pack. We're going to chase you. It was really hello kind of stuff. It was really like, what are you doing that for? So that kind of ruined it. Other than that, it was actually quite good. It was quite tense scenes and some really good suspense because, you know, you don't know what it's a bit like Jaws. You don't know where it is and what's going on and where they're going to be because it's all beneath the surface. But until they did that, I just said, well, don't do that. That's just silly. Okay. So there you go, Greyhound. Watch that on your own. Sado. What else?
Speaking of Germans, this is a film I watched for my German class, as in I do it at school because I'm learning the language.
That's right.
Yeah. I watched Willkommen bei den Hartmanns, which translates to Welcome to the Hartmanns, with Hartmanns being the surname of this family, which...
Is it a bit like Welcome to the Millers or whatever that was called? Were the Millers?
Oh, well, I'm not really sure. That's the one with Will Poulter, right?
Yeah, and
I'm not sure what that's
and
about.
And from Friends, and Jennifer Aniston, and that unfunny guy, what's he called? Yeah. Anyway, those people.
Adam Sandler.
No, the other one. Go on.
So it's about this family that, after much debate, take in a refugee to their house while he is seeking a permanent spot in Germany.
So it does sound like an Adam Sandler film.
Well, it's. It came out in 2016 or something like that, so it's very modern in terms of it's very relevant to what's happening in Germany right now and what's happening in the world right now. Because lots of refugees from countries, I think the character from this is from Cameroon or something like that. Yeah. But it does sound quite serious, but it is a comedy. However, it does try and tackle tough topics in like a comedic way. It doesn't quite work, so you can have one scene where this guy's family is being murdered, and then in the next scene you've got like a zebra in the backyard causing
that's
havoc.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't laugh once during
this
whole thing.
So that old stereotype in this country of Germans not being funny, which is a stereotype, mm-hmm. obviously, because there are some good German comedians. I'm thinking of Henning Vein, and oh, yeah. I can't think of anybody else. Yeah. But he is funny. Anyway, yeah, so that's stereotype. So you're saying it's not funny, or it's a brand of humour that doesn't quite translate,
well,
is that what you're saying?
It's what it's meant to do, I think, is the film is meant to educate your typical German comedy-watching audience on the refugee crisis and stuff like that. But nothing in the film matters, because the whole thing is just crazy stuff happening, and every character is like a stereotype and a cliche. Like, the mum is the, like, caring, she's a mum, and she's also an alcoholic, but they only mention that in, like, one scene. And then the dad is an awful person who's, like, he accidentally says racist stuff sometimes. He's very rich, so he gets, like, plastic surgery all the time. He's cheating on his wife, just a real asshole. And then the eldest son is, like, the head of a corporation. The head of a corporation. And then he's got a son who is 12, but he smokes weed, and he's part of a rap group, and he's part of this three-person rap group, and this kid says to the refugee, can you bring your ID and then meet me at school tomorrow, because I need your ID. And then he gets there, and turns out this 12-year-old kid has ordered a bunch of strippers, and they're going to make a rap music video at school. So there's really weird stuff happening. So you can have this scene where there's like a bunch of strippers in a school, and then the next scene, there's a woman complaining about how there's too many Muslims in Germany or something like that. And it's not treated as comedy. So it's trying to make points about things and say, these people are racist, these people aren't, this is what we should do about refugees. But then it goes back to something else crazy happening. So you don't care about anything.
Mm, it sounds very strange in all the places in tone.
Yeah. And there's like a stalker character who's running around, but then the stalker is also racist. Is either racist or
carry
not.
On refugee or something like that.
Yeah.
I think if it was done in this country.
And they treat the refugee, he's probably the best character, but he is very naive, and he's a bit like, why, this country's so weird. Why do you guys let women vote and stuff like that?
It's like Borat or something.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Didn't so really like it.
Willkommen bei den Hartmanns. How was my accent?
Okay.
Okay,
yes,
thanks.
Fine.
All right. What else did we watch?
Feels good, man.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We watched the feature-length documentary, Me and They. This is part of the Storyville Strand, mm-hmm. which is they show them on BBC. And they're always very, very good and very engaging. I don't know if you've seen any of the Storyville.
I've seen this one.
Okay. All right. So that's a no.
It's about memes. It's about Pepe
it's
and
not,
the Frog.
Though, is it? It's not. It goes beyond that. It's actually about... This is what it frames it as. It's about Pepe the Frog. Yeah, go on. Tell us about it. Go on there.
Pepe
and I'll tell you what it's really
Frog
about.
Pepe the Frog was a cartoon character.
No, he wasn't. He was a comic book character.
Yeah, same thing.
No, a cartoon is an animation.
Yeah, fine. He's a comic book character from Boys Club. He's just like a frog with big lips and very detailed eyes. Also known as Sad Frog. And he made his way onto the internet because he says a phrase, feels good, man, which sort of became a meme, most specifically on 4chan, which is like an anonymous message board filled with a bunch of scumbags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pepe.
Yeah. And then it was the story is about how this evolved from what it was originally created as, and it gets taken by other people and turned into something else.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off, like you say, as some kind of spearhead, a meme, a comedy meme, and gets turned into that. And the creator's like, oh, yeah, whatever, that's all right. That's good fun. That's nice.
That feels good, man.
Fun. Yeah, and then that gets taken and hijacked by the alt-right and gets turned into this horrific, horrible meme on the internet that is just absolutely disgusting. And it gets adopted by
the
far right media as well as the right wing media. Yeah.
There's lots of like court battles and things like that of this guy trying to claim his image back.
And the image, the documentary itself, it goes from, it starts off quite straightforward and shows how it gets like bastardized and turned into something that it isn't and its original intentions and original purpose. And then goes off in a few strange directions, to be honest, and then brings it back to that original story of how it created, and as a circular narrative.
It works quite well because it presents you the information about how it becomes this controversial image. It sends it at you quite quick, like, this happened, also this happens, and this happens. Because that's how the internet works. Everything happens really quickly.
That's right.
You can't really focus on it.
Yeah.
And then new things happen, and then it's hard to
control. Several times it says you can't put that genie back in the bottle, etc. So it's a real interesting tale, and also a tale of just be careful, isn't it, really?
Mm. It's also very well made, because it's got good animation segments, it's got decent music, it's got lots of interviews and lots of different people on both sides, so introducing the creators and the 4chan
people.
This
style of documentary should be objective there.
Mm-hmm.
Always, but that's what it should be.
Feels good, man.
It did. It felt good. We liked it. We enjoyed it. Thank you very much. What else did we watch?
Parasite.
Ah, the phenomena that was the South Korean awards smash that we have eventually got round to watching. We've been thinking, oh yeah, that looks good. We'll have to watch that. Yeah, I know. It's about 12 months later.
Yeah.
So we eventually got round to watching it. Me, you, and the mama. We watched it, and it was as good as they say. Mm. It was very good, very entertaining. It's funny. It's full of surprises, especially with the twists, etc. But always engaging.
It's one of the most tense movies I've sat through. It's not just one scene. There's several scenes where you're just on the edge of your seat. You don't know what's going on. Are they going to rid the house of these parasites? Because it's about parasites.
Yes, kind of. Yeah, it's also obviously a very interesting commentary about society,
rich and the poor.
Yeah, about class society within South Korea, so, or any country really, I suppose. But yes, there you go. Very, very enjoyable, very, very interesting, and well worth all its awards that it was given.
Best picture.
Yeah.
Best director.
Yeah. And to be fair, you know, we watched some of other Yiman Boon Jok.
Bong Joon Ho.
Thank you. I can't remember his name at all for the life of me then.
Pop job.
Okay, and we watched Okja, and I've seen Snowpiercer as well, which is, they're both interesting films, but a little uneven. This felt like it got it just right.
And it's in Korean. It's not westernized at all. It is probably his original vision, rather than Snowpiercer, which was completely bastardized by Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay, so that was Parasite. Thank you very much. What else did we watch? Ah!
Ooh.
Now it kicks back in. It's back in all its glory.
With a vengeance.
That's right.
It ended
not
on a
Lockdown
sour tone last time.
Not Lockdown 2. It is, of course, Tin Knight.
Round 4.
Now, so if you're not familiar with Tin Knight, explain Tin Knight.
Tin Knight is... it's a night. It's not just a night. It's an experience. It's film. It's pure, raw, unadulterated film.
It's a way of choosing a film to watch, which isn't just, dad, what you choose that for is rubbish. So it takes the pressure off me, because what we do is each of the household members gets 3 choices. You write down those choices on a little piece of paper, follow the piece of paper, throw it in a tin. Our lovely tin. We'll put a picture on Facebook and other.
Plenty of times.
Yeah, we're going to do it again. And... it looks a little bit like a mini 35mm can of film. Ha ha, good, eh? And we put them in there, and then every time we say, right, let's watch a film, let's have a film night, we pick one out of the tin. We get Sun Tzu to do it, just for tradition now, because he did the first one, so he does the rest. Well, and he picks them out, and we've had 5 of the 12 so far.
Yeah, well, it's been sort of a fresh start, because it's been a while since we did the last one. And the last one was a mess, because we only watched 11 of the 12 films. Mm. I picked a really rude film that ruined everyone's day, and no one wanted to watch films anymore. And Mama Big was like, we can't have these films anymore, we're changing the rules. Mama's trying to change the rules. So we're back.
And this time...
It's personal.
It's been all right. So, first film out of the pot... was Sun One, no, Sun Two's choice.
Yeah.
And it was classic Kubrick, The Shining.
Yeah.
I really like this film, so I was quite happy to watch it.
Kubrick is your middle name. You're always on about...
Actually, it's not, but it's...
What's it called? 2001, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You're anyway, like shush, Full Metal
shush, 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 shush. So Shining, yes. Widely regarded as one of the best films the genre. But I think Sun Tzu was a bit disappointed. He thought it was going to be a bit more...
There were no jump scares. There were no zombies.
No, that kind
of thing.
There
were no skeletons. There were no ghosts.
His understanding of what a horror film is was very different, I think. It's all right.
There was no spooky doll with, music box music playing.
Mm, that's right. What do you think?
It was good. Not great, but good.
It was great.
I enjoyed it enough, I would say.
Okay. All right. And then the second film out of the tin was... Mama Biggs's first choice, and that's classic Ealing comedy, The Lady Killers.
They were killing those ladies.
That's right. How dark is this as a 1950s comedy, a lovely, quaint, lovely English comedy, and you've got these eight guys who are all part of a criminal gang.
Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
You got Guinness, Sellers... Fat guy, Herbert Lom, and the Major. You got five people.
Eight. He said eight.
I said eight.
You then corrected yourself to seven very confidently.
You get five gang members, okay, and they're going to pull off a heist, and they're hiding out in the little old lady's house, and it is genius. And hoodwinked into thinking this is the Coen brothers' version with Tom Hanks in it, where it is some god-awful remake. Okay, now I love the Coen brothers, I love Tom Hanks, but do not ever watch that film, ever, ever, ever. And do not get it confused.
You've not seen it?
Do never, ever get it confused with The Lady Killers, the original proper version.
What if it's good?
Because it's brilliant.
Some remakes are better than the original.
This will never be. Why remake something that is already brilliant? Alec Guinness's performance in this is absolutely amazing. He's constantly on it, and he's constantly being funny with his little quirks and little faces and little mannerisms that he does. Just even when he's not even in the scene, he's almost at the back of the scene.
Even when he's not on camera, he's still doing those funny faces.
Probably is. Probably is. You don't know that. He probably was. So that's Lady Killers. What did you think of Lady Killers?
I thought it was, so far, the best film. As in so far, as in out
ever.
Of these two.
Oh, yeah. As okay. In... yeah, and Sun 2 liked it as well. It was and obviously a... Mim, Mama Biggs,
yeah,
like it.
I wouldn't say it was a comedy. It wasn't hilarious.
No, it's not.
It was just
not...
the events. It's more of like what Shakespeare would call a comedy, in the fact that things happen that are out of the traditional realm
of
our universe.
Yes, and that's what makes a good film. It's one of the things that can make a good film is like unexpected. Oh, I didn't expect that to happen. So... that's why it's engaging.
I didn't expect a single thing in this movie.
Yeah, it's great.
I thought it would be about murderers or something.
Yeah, and there you go. Then we had your first choice. Tell us all about it.
Cars 3.
That's right.
Yeah. So after constant talent being told that I'm a pervert by my own family, I decided, you know what, I'm going to pick one PG film. So they're all going to shut up and watch a film that's fun for the whole family.
That's right. So this was Disney Pixar's Cars 3, the third in the Cars trilogy.
I don't know if you know this about me, guys, but Cars came out when I was just like two or three.
Yeah, it was the first film you ever saw at the cinema.
I collected all the little die-cast toys.
That's right.
I printed off images of them and laminated
them. Do you know what? You picking this film made your mum's day. It was like... it's like little baby Harris is back. Yeah, so there you go. So Cars 3, and it was good fun. It was great. It was enjoyable. And it was nice to see the characters back and doing something that actually related to the original film, unlike the horrific Cars 2.
Yeah, well, you haven't seen it.
I don't want to.
The only one who's seen it. And it's awful.
Yeah.
I watched it a few years ago when I was ill. And it really made me feel down in the dumps.
Okay. But Cars 3 isn't. Cars 3 is return to form. And it was very, very enjoyable and uplifting and great fun. Then we picked out of the tin Mama's second choice. Now, she's always going to choose the classics. And this was. Well, you thought Lady Killers was dark. Well, the original Cape Fear is even darker.
Mama Biggs is doing a knee with the dark, it is, gritty.
This is such a good film. I think this is absolutely brilliant. And Robert Mitchum's performance in this film is absolutely terrifying. And this isn't terrifying as, oh, I'm a big evil monster man.
Jump scares.
Or pulling a knife out. But no, he is just such a presence. And some of the things he says, not even the things he does, he's just an imposing, terrifying presence all the time. Because you're just like, oh my God, he's gonna do something horrific at any moment. He is absolutely brilliant. So, again, there is a remake made by, again, brilliant filmmaker and brilliant actor. Okay, Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro remade it in the 90s. And that's okay. But if you want to see it done right, watch the original Cape Fear. That's
right. Now, you know how I said I'm always called a pervert during these film tin nights?
Yeah.
Well, Sun 2 called me pervert for liking this. Not even for picking it. Just for the, and I was like, well, what about Mum then? She's the one who picked it.
That's right.
Like, no, it doesn't count for Mum.
I don't think it, if you like the film, it makes you a nonce.
Yeah, well, I said to him, just because the contents of the film have this in it, it doesn't mean that I agree with them. I was like,
like, yeah, I'd hope that.
Well, his favourite film's Joker. And it doesn't mean he's going to go and kill Robert De Niro. Oh. He's always watching Super 8. That doesn't mean he's going to find aliens.
Or count to eight in a very incisive way. Okay, so that was Cape Fear, the original. And the last Tin Night so far, people, was Sun 2's...
Second choice.
Which was Gemini.
Gemini Man.
It's not Gemini Man, is it?
Yeah, it's Gemini Man.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was just called Gemini.
It's Gemini Man.
Ah, because it's Gemini
a
Man
of Gemini.
Because Gemini Man to me is a 1980s television show.
It's called Gemini Man, I'm telling you.
Well, you know what? I was absolutely disappointed in this. Not because of the ridiculous special effects or the quite
ridiculous
dull...
Ridiculous isn't the word you're looking for. The word
quite,
is god-awful.
Quite dull pacing. But I was actually really, really disappointed in the fact that not once did he press his digital watch and go invisible. Now, you won't get that reference. Nope. But anybody of a certain age who knows what Gemini Man is... is currently going, ha, ha, that's so funny, Papa Biggs.
Now, you said anyway, Ang Lee was good, because he did Gay Cowboys.
I know, I say he has done some good films. I didn't say he is good, because he's also done some garbage, as we know.
Hulk. And this yeah, is worse than Hulk, I would
and
say.
And one of the worst things about Hulk was the awful special effects. Mm-hmm. And that he obviously didn't learn from that, because that's one of the worst things about this. You mentioned earlier, Arnold knows... Don't do cheesy action sequences by ruining them with special effects. Do the action real. Make
it real.
The
Will Smiths in this, weren't there were rubbery Will Smiths. There was two rubbery Will Smiths flailing about on bikes. Episode title right there. And it didn't look real.
It didn't look real at all.
A couple of Smiths.
What could have been a really good action sequence, that chase sequence, was just laughably awful because of the CGI, which was not needed. Get some proper stunt people in there and get it done properly, you stupid idiot.
And young Smith, it points, he didn't look like a real Smith. He looks like a fake Smith, a doctored Smith, a faux Smith, if you will.
Pointless.
It wasn't good. At all, I really didn't like this film whatsoever.
It could have been some okay bits in it. In terms of the storyline, anything like that, it's perfectly average fare. Pacing was poor. It could have been all right. Yeah, it could have been all right.
There's a really weird... I knew it. Everything threw me off. I went in with an open mind, but then it threw me off like 30 seconds in when you have a weird shot of the train where it's like fisheye lens and it's sort of, the aspect ratio is really thin. It's like a bloody long thing. And the train looks like it's a V-shape because of the thing. And it's like, and what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, what was
and
the point of that?
That entire thing threw me off.
And it was an absolutely pointless shot. So it's just like, oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, great if you're doing a skateboard video. Anyway.
I can't take Will Smith seriously as an actor since he did Suicide Squad in 2016. So he's just the, well, so I see her with some kind of Suicide Squad. He's that guy. And then in 2018, he does the YouTube Rewind video where he's like, it's rewind time. So now I just see him as the guy who says the awful line in Suicide Squad and the guy who says the awful line in YouTube Rewind.
So he's destroyed his own reputation and his own...
Yeah. He doesn't look like an actor. He doesn't look like a real person anymore. He's not... And he did Aladdin. He was in the genie in Aladdin. He's a big blue mask just flying around.
Yeah.
In the past 5 years, Will Smith is ruined his entire life. He's not even an actor anymore.
He's destroyed his own dynasty.
You're
anyway.
I'm being really hard. Will Smith seems like a really nice guy.
He's lovely. And he's actually done some good stuff as well.
Jaden Smith, on the other hand, lovely
Ali,
guy.
Ali, have you ever seen Ali? Incredible in that. He's also he's done some really good action films as well.
He was the Fresh Prince. He was Drunk Superhero. What was that film called?
Yeah, Hitch.
Hancock.
That's it. So I he also says that his character in this was born in Philadelphia, which of course we're just going. Yeah. And then he moved to obviously Bel-Air. Anyway. That's what we've been watching. That's what we've been reading. That has been the Papa Big Show once more, your delectable podcast for your consumption. We'll join you next time, and you can join us next time as well. That makes more sense.
We'll join each other. It's a mutual...
That's
right. You listen to us.
Right.
We listen to you.
Okay, so say goodbye, someone.
Well, sayonara.
Okay, adios.
If you want to give your opinion on anything we talked about on the show, or to tell us your trail of the week, or maybe what you've been watching and reading, you can tweet us at Bigs Papa, or write a comment in our Facebook group, The Papa Big Show. If you like the sound of any of the trailers we talked about, they're compiled into a playlist in our YouTube channel, The Papa Big Show. We're also The Papa Big Show on Pinterest and The Papa Big Show on SoundCloud.